I'm also from Vienna. The last 1.5 years I spent writing a book with my colleague from Berlin, Konrad Poltier. We wrote the book in German with the strong hope that it will be translated pretty soon into English. The book is called Images of Mathematics. And it was only 5 days. 5 days it will appear. But I don't have any copy. I asked the publisher, Springer Verlag and Sektum Akademischer Verlag, to provide me with copies, but they didn't make it to that time. So it will be on the market soon. And but before I want to say something, because you maybe have mentioned, noticed that I'm taking pictures of almost everyone here. And I'm also a professional photographer. And if nobody objects, or if people don't object, then I put the images on a website, the name of which I will give you at the end of the talk. If someone has objections, just come to me and I don't put it on the website. Okay? So, let's continue with the images of mathematics. Maybe I show you the PDF just briefly. Looks like this. And it's really full of images. And I wrote 1001, and it's probably true, it's probably more. And we were not alone. We were assisted by three of my assistants, and in Berlin also two more people to get that work done. One of the major things was, besides making the pictures, was to write a text that is so short and describes the major thing, and then to find out the literature which can be obtained in the internet or books or articles that have been written about, for example, the supercyclic. Almost no one would know what it is, and then you have different links in the internet and whatever that explains you where you can find more information. So this is the PDF, and I go through the single pictures here. Of course, not through all, because I wouldn't have the time. We have 15 sections, and one of them is polyhedral models. I removed pages that now would perfectly fit into the context, because I saw many things that are also in the book. Here's just one example of the tetrahedron, this so simple thing, but with so many extraordinary properties. And one of them was discovered or checked by Gunter Weiss and Hans Havicek in Vienna, that the heights of the tetrahedron lie on a hyperboloid, which then can be calculated and whatever. Then geometry in the plane.
That's an arbitrary tetrahedron.
Arbitrary tetrahedron. Mm-hmm. And a special hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It goes through whole mathematics. I'm a mathematician, but still, of course, I cannot know everything in mathematics. Not even a third or whatever. But we picked out different things, different topics, and tried to take pictures of it, make pictures of it. For example, we didn't find any picture to the following problem. Given a closed line, can you always find a quadrangle, a square, with the four vertices on the line? And it's not trivial at all, and it has been proven in the past. It's possible, but there are one or more, but not infinite. Whereas if you take curves, arbitrary curves, closed curves, and try to put regular triangles in it, there is always an infinite number, which was amazing for me as well. old and new problems. The trisection of the angle is a very old problem, as you know, and this is a new one. We have three objects of whatever kind, and we try to make one intersection so that all the three objects are, by volume, divided into two equal parts. It's called the ham and ham sandwich theorem or whatever. Then about formulas. For example, the binomial coefficients with the Pascal triangle, and then make some pictures out of it, and then take even the trinomial coefficients and make pyramids out of it. Or functions and limits. The Weierstrass function, for example, and its derivation. And as I said, the problem is you have half a page and write such that people get into the topic a little bit, understand what the problem is, and if they are interested in, get more information. Also one non-trivial thing, if you take a cup of coffee and stir it up, there will be always one molecule on the same point as it was earlier, the fixed point theorem. And then about curves and knots, for example, the spherical conics that can be kinematically created, very similar to the planar conics. Or we saw that image in another context today, Apollonian circles as orbit of points where the product of the distances of two fixed points is constant.
The ratio.
And here, if you want the product constant, then you get the Cassini curves, which appear in space, for example, as the planar intersections of atolls. Geodetic lines, not only on curved surfaces, but also on polyhedra. And the explanation how it works, how you would calculate that. Knots. And the thing was not only to produce beautiful pictures. The thing was always to get some additional, provide some additional information. It's not only a picture book, you may call it a picture book, but also a mathematical book. You know? For example, the Celtic knots are explained thoroughly how they can be knotted. Then, of course, much about the geometry and topology of surfaces. Start with simple things like the quadrics. The prototypes of all surfaces, as you know. And then surfaces of degree 3, for example, the famous Clebsch surface, which carries exactly 27 straight lines, which always run to certain points, the Eckhart points, and so forth. I have to say something that not all the pictures are created by us, by Konrad Poitier and me and my assistants, but also many pictures stem from other mathematicians. Okay. This is, for example, Hans-Peter Schöttger. The Pütke conoid and how it can be created by motion. Or say you take a knife and cut into a paper, a and then try to fold that, and what happens and how can it look like. And then applications, this is for example Helmut Portmann, applications in modern architecture with pure geometry. Then classical things like a mobile strip in different variations, and also a topological example, the kind bubble. And then some other topologically interesting surfaces like a cipher surface. And Alexander's sphere. Then Konrad Poltier is a specialist for minimal surfaces. So most of these, the following examples came from him. Jargon problem and classically minimal surface. The Casper surface we had already today. And then also discrete minimal surfaces. This is a modern trend in mathematics that everything is discretized, or if I say the correct word. And the examples we had earlier are also kind of examples of this. It's not perfect, but somehow it works. You know, a minimal surface, how can you discretize a minimal surface? In principle, you would have to take you can zoom it in any way, and always have to be minimal. But generally speaking, you can discretize it or put circles on surfaces. Then there's done a lot about packings and explained how we have different kinds of pavements, for example, paving. Ornaments. And there's 70 groups systematically shown. Goes to the non-periodic pavements, then the Voronoi thing, and also just five sentences explain what is a Voronoi diagram, and takes a while to get it there. Mm-hmm. But then you have been forced to do it, and what was quite interesting for me, for me personally, that it was really a development for myself. You know, five sentences explain what a Voronoi thing is, so that everyone can repeat it and understand it, to a certain extent, of course. And then again, beautiful examples, and extend it to a 3D space. And we developed so many programs in the meantime, which can do those things. Most of the pictures were done in Open Geometry, which is the system that we developed much earlier, which has developed with that kind of work we did now. And this is dimensions, higher dimensions now, the hyperbolic space. We have that today as well. Or for example, by Helmut Stacke in Vienna, the investigation whether Escher had known all those things or not. And Stachel came to the conclusion he knew everything about it, although he cheated a little bit. But he must have known many things about that. And then four-dimensional polyhedra, like the 120-cell dodecahedron. Of course, we can only show two-dimensional pictures, not even three-dimensional, two-dimensional pictures. It's always the same. But it looks somehow, obviously, to be... no one can tell me that he would now know how this such a thing looks like in four space. But anyways, it's a projection of it. And then gasification. This, for example, was done by Fritz Obermeier. Nice images from inside, 600 cells and so forth. Then about graphs and incidences. Simple example, touching circles. And if you do a three-dimensional interpretation, then you get quite interesting things. For example, this, if you consider the hull of all those circles which define spheres, then the hull of the sphere is a Dupin cycle. Thank you. And then we come to the movable forms or geometries. You know probably that the elliptic motion is defined by a rod of constant length, which is guided along two straight lines. But if you extend that to 3D, again, two straight lines and a rod of constant length, and if you move it around, it's also an a kind of elliptic motion. And for example, each point on the rod has an ellipse in a parallel plane. As path curve, as orbit. Then those things that are turnable, the kaleidoscopic cycles, which can be interpreted in different ways. For example, if you take that part of a, it's actually the part of a cube, cut-out cube, and then you, then you can move that whole thing and create new spaces, which is interesting, for example, for modern architecture, to create new spaces by motion. This is from Otto Waschel. Something that was not supposed to move, if you count the degrees of freedom, and but it's easy to be moved, it can be moved in two different directions, completely freely. And then some simple things like the Reuleau triangle, which can be turned around in a parallel strip. And then you might ask if a Reuleau sphere could also be moved within kind of prism. Cannot. This image was by Fritz Mannhardt. Then something interesting to Hungarians. Discovered the Gömbölyd. Gömbölyd is a strange thing that if you roll it somewhere, it would stand up in a certain position, always. But not due to lead inside or something, due to the geometrical shape. Fractals, we have seen that picture today, similarly, and the Hilbert curve extended to three space. Space-filling curve, then the Koch curve they had already today. And then we had, for example, the task to put such a thing on a sphere, which is not trivial at all. And we got also help from Gunther Weiss in this case. And it described how it is done. And then the fractal dimensions. What is a fractal dimension? How, for example, the Koch curve goes to the space-filling piano curve. And all the pictures, of course, done in a resolution 3,000 times 5,000 or something, which was also a challenge. Then the Menger sponge we had already today, for example, has the dimension 20 over 27, because you always put 27 out of the cube in each step. And the pictures stem from Gerd Baer, Dresden. Then we always see the Mandelbrot menu set, but here is the explanation why that works. And of course, we have the Julien, Meng, and all that stuff. I just took some sample pages. And the curly Q fractals. And then random walks, which was an interesting topic also. For example, if you randomly walk around in the plane, then you have a borderline, and the borderline is a fractal of dimension 4 over 3. And then do that with some restrictions in free space, and you get quite interesting things like this. So random walks, but with certain restrictions. Percolation. Let's take a picture the next time. Here you can see how from above to down could a liquid go through or not. How many percent of the mini cubes of the voxels have to be filled? It turns out it is 59%. If you fill 59% randomly, then you have guaranteed that the water or whatever can percolate. And it's always a question, do we have pictures of that, you know? Sometimes you find things in the internet, many times you find things in the internet or in books, but many of the pictures are completely new, hopefully. The mappings, and my special field right now, because I do photographing all the time, the collineation, when you put something in front of the lens, and you get not a two-dimensional image in behind, but you get a three-dimensional, collinear, diffracted object behind the lens, and then you take a chip, the sensor, and have to make a cross-intersection. And it explains that it's not the same if you take pictures of big things or small things. So it's completely different. Like the speaker before said, it's not the same small or big. Also in photography, exactly the same. The problem, the smaller, the less depth you get. Then some things with complex numbers, polynoms, and we also took Bachmann's example of the heart, Viennese heart. And this is also zero manifolds of polynomials done by Bowen, Jonathan Bowen. And then finally, some applications of mathematics, like the currents and what is Wirbel? Turbulences.
Turbulence.
And then electric field lines, which are solutions of differential equations, of course. And then I put it in again, I had to put it out, but you had a drum today, which you could not hear. So this drum is impossible to hear, and it's a snowflake. One of the last examples, how to find, it's a traveling salesman problem, how to find the shortest way in between n points. And it turns out that even the fastest computer could not solve the problem if you take 100 points. Or if you can manage it with 100, then take 1,000 points and it's over. It would calculate for the rest of the universe. But the ants have found the way. If someone is interested, I can explain later on. And then I just wanted to give you the link to the homepage if you want to know to write it down. So from there you can download the things, the pictures I taken off. Don't write www. Just Savannah would be enough. And thank you for the attention.
We're only a half an hour behind, so we won't take questions. But you all know what he looks like. Now, Georg, I must have this book. How do I get it? Have you got a copy with you?
Yeah, I just said earlier that I miss it for 5 days. In 5 days, it will appear. So my next talk will be in Germany, and then I will provide pictures with the copy. But right now, I don't have it with me. So how can we do?
Yes.
Maybe.
I must have this book. What have we got going on?
We are taking a break now, and the bus is the shuttle to the hotel leaves at 8:30. So we have, you know, we can relax to our dinner. And we're going to take a break, yes? And we'll come back for the